morning only just breaking. Shay backed away from him, quickly revising her plans. This wasn't how it was supposed to go. She couldn't fight Zhu. Her mouth kept moving, keeping him distracted but also playing a part she devised for herself on the fly. "When Frava finds out you came here," Shay said, "she will be furious." Zhu drew his sword. "Knights," Shay said, backing up to her bed. "Zhu, you don't need to do this. You can't do this. I have work that needs to be done."
"Another will complete your work," Zhu said, leering. "Frava has another forger. You think you're so clever? You probably have some wonderful escape planned for tomorrow. This time, we're striking first." "You didn't anticipate this, did you, liar?" "I'm gonna enjoy killing you. Enjoy it so much."
He lunged with the sword, its tip catching her blouse and ripping a line through it at her side. Shay jumped away, shouting for help. She was still playing the part, but it did not require acting. Her heart thumped, panic rising as she rounded the bed in a scramble, putting it between herself and Zhu. He smiled broadly, then jumped for her, leaping onto the bed. It promptly collapsed. During the night, while crawling under the bed to get her notes, she had forged the wood of the frame to have deep flaws, attacked by insects, making it fragile. She'd cut the mattress underneath it in wide slashes. Zhu barely had time to shout as the bed broke completely away, crashing into the pit she'd opened in the floor below. The water damage to her room, the mildew she had smelled when first entering, had been key. By reports, the wooden beams above would have rotted and the ceiling would have fallen in if they hadn't located the leak as quickly as they had. A simple forgery, very plausible, made it so that the floor had fallen in. Zhu crashed into the empty storage room one story down. Shay stood puffing, then peered into the hole. The man lay among the broken remnants of the bed. Some of that had been stuffing and cushioning. He would probably live. She'd been intending this trap for one of the regular guards, of whom she was fond. "Not exactly how I planned it," she thought, "but workable." Shay rushed to the table and gathered her things. The box of stamps, the Emperor's soul, some extra soul stone and ink, and the two books explaining the stamps she had created in deep complexity, the official one and the true one. She tossed the official one into the hearth as she passed. Then she stopped in front of the door, counting heartbeats. She agonized, watching the blood sealer's mark as it pulsed. Finally, after a few tormenting minutes, the seal on the door flashed one last time, then faded. The blood sealer had not returned in time to renew it. Freedom. Shay burst out into the hallway, abandoning her home of the last 3 months, a room now trimmed in gold and silver. The hallway outside had been so near, yet it felt like another country entirely. She pressed the third of her prepared stamps against her buttoned blouse, changing it to match that of the palace servants, with official insignia embroidered on the left breast. She had little time to make her next move. Soon, either the blood sealer would make his way to her room, Zhu would wake from his fall, or the guards would arrive for the shift change. Shay wanted to run down the hallway, breaking for the palace stables. She did not. Running implied one of two things, guilt or an important task. Either would be memorable. Instead, she kept her gait to a swift walk and adopted the expression of one who knew what she was doing and so should not be interrupted. She soon entered the better-used sections of the enormous palace. No one stopped her. At a certain carpeted intersection, she stopped herself. To the right, down a long hallway, lay the entrance to the Emperor's chambers. The seal she carried in her right hand, boxed and cushioned, seemed to leap in her fingers. Why hadn't she left it in the room for Gautana to discover? The arbiters would hunt her less assiduously if they had the seal. She could just leave it here, in this hallway, lined with portraits of ancient rulers and cluttered with forged urns from ancient eras. No, she had brought it with her for a reason. She had prepared tools to get into the Emperor's chambers. She had known all along this was what she would do. If she left now, she would never truly know if the seal worked. That would be like building a house, then never stepping inside. Like forging a sword, and never giving it a swing. Like crafting a masterpiece of art, then locking it away to never be seen again. Shay started down the long hallway. As soon as no one was directly in sight, she turned over one of those horrid urns and broke the seal on the bottom. It transformed back into a blank clay version of itself. She had plenty of time to find out exactly where these urns were crafted and by whom. The fourth of her prepared stamps transformed the urn into a replica of an ornate golden chamber pot. Shay strode down the hallway to the Emperor's quarters, then nodded to the guards, chamber pot under her arm.
"I don't recognize you," one guard said.
She didn't recognize him either, with that scarred face and squinty look. As she had expected, the guards set to watching her had been kept separate from the others, so they couldn't talk about their duties.
"Oh," Shay said, fumbling, looking abashed. "I am sorry, Greater One. I was only assigned this task this morning."
She blushed, fishing out of her pocket a small square of thick paper marked with Gautina's seal and signature. She had forged both the old-fashioned way. Very convenient, how he had let her tell him how to maintain security on the Emperor's rooms. She got through without any further difficulty. The next three rooms of the Emperor's expansive chambers were empty. Beyond them was a locked door. She had to forge the wood of that door into some that had been damaged by insects using the same stamp she'd used on her bed to get through. It didn't take for long, but a few seconds was enough for her to kick the door open. Inside, she found the Emperor's bedroom. It was the same place she'd been led on that first day when she'd been offered this chance. The room was empty save for him, lying in that bed. He was awake, but stared sightlessly at the ceiling. The room was still, quiet. It smelled too clean, too white, like a blank canvas. Shay walked up to the side of the bed. Ashravan didn't look at her. His eyes didn't move. She rested fingers on his shoulder. He had a handsome face, though he was some 15 years her senior. That was not much for a grand. They lived longer than most.
His was a strong face, despite his long time abed.
Golden hair, a firm chin, a nose that was prominent. So different in features from Shay's people.
"I know your soul," Shay said softly. "I know it better than you ever did."
No alarm yet. Shay continued to expect one any moment, but she knelt down beside the bed anyway.
"I wish that I could know you. Not your soul, but you. I've read about you. I've seen into your heart. I've rebuilt your soul as best I could. But that isn't the same. It isn't knowing someone, is it? That's knowing about someone." Was that a cry outside, from a distant part of the palace? "I don't ask much of you," she said softly. "Just that you live. Just that you be. I've done what I can. Let it be enough." She took a deep breath, then opened the box and took out his essence mark. She inked it, then pulled up his shirt, exposing the upper arm. She hesitated, then pressed the stamp down. It hit flesh and stayed frozen for a moment, as stamps always did. The skin and muscle didn't give way until a second later, then the stamp sank a fraction of an inch. She twisted the stamp, locking it in, and pulled it back. The bright red seal glowed faintly. Ashravan blinked. Shay rose and stepped back as he sat up and looked around. Silently, she counted.
"My rooms,"
Ashravan said.
What happened?
There was an attack. I was wounded. Oh, Mother of Lights. Krishna. She's dead.
His face became a mask of grief, but he covered it a second later. He was emperor. He might have a temper, but so long as he was not enraged, he was good at covering what he felt. He turned to her, and living eyes, eyes that saw, focused on her.
Who are you?
The question twisted her insides, for all the fact that she'd expected it. I'm a kind of surgeon, Shay said. You were wounded badly. I have healed you. However, what I used to do so is considered unsavory by some parts of your culture.
You're a resealer,
he said.
A forger.
In a way, Shay said. He would believe that because he wanted to. This was a difficult type of resealing. You will have to be stamped each day, and you must keep that metal plate, the one shaped like a disc in that box, with you at all times. Without these, you die, Ashravan.
Give it to me,
he said, holding his hand out for the stamp. She hesitated. She wasn't certain why.
Give it to me,
he said, more forceful. She placed the stamp in his hand. Don't tell anyone what has happened here, she said to him. Neither guards nor servants. Only your arbiters know of what I have done. The cries outside sounded louder. Ashravan looked toward them.
If no one is to know, he said, you must go. Leave this place, and do not return.
He looked down at the seal.
I should probably have you killed for knowing my secret.
That was the selfishness he'd learned during his years in the palace. Yes, she'd gotten that right. But you won't, she said.
I won't.
And there was the mercy buried deeply.
Go, before I change my mind, he said.
She took one step toward the doorway, then checked her pocket watch. Well over a minute. The stamp had taken, at least for the short term. She turned and looked at him.
What are you waiting for?
He demanded. I just wanted one more glimpse, she said. He frowned. The shouts grew even louder.
Go, he said. Please.
He seemed to know what those shouts were about, or at least he could guess. Do better this time, Shay said. Please. With that, she fled. She had been tempted, for a time, to write into him a desire to protect her. There would have been no good reason for it, at least in his eyes, and it might have undermined the entire forgery. Beyond that, she didn't believe that he could save her. Until his period of mourning was through, he couldn't leave his quarters or speak to anyone other than his arbiters. During that time, the arbiters ran the empire. They practically ran it anyway. No, a hasty revision of Ashravan's soul to protect her wouldn't have worked. Near the last door out, Shay picked up her fake chamber pot. She hefted it, then stumbled through the doors. She gasped audibly at the distant cries. Is that about me? Shay cried. Knights, I didn't mean it. I know I wasn't supposed to see him. I know he's in seclusion, but I opened the wrong door. The guards stared at her. Then one relaxed.
It isn't about you. Find your quarters and stay there.
Shay bobbed a bow and hastened away. Most of the guards didn't know her, and so she felt a sharp pain at her side. She gasped. That pain felt like it did each morning when the blood sealer stamped the door. Panicked, Shay felt at her side. The cut in her blouse, where Zhu had slashed her with his sword, had gone all the way through her dark undershirt. When her fingers came back, they had a couple of drops of blood on them. Just a nick, nothing dangerous. In the scramble, she hadn't even noticed she'd been cut. But the tip of Zhu's sword, it had her blood on it. Fresh blood. The blood sealer had found that and had begun the hunt. That pain meant he was locating her, was attuning his pets to her. Shay tossed the urn aside and started running. Staying hidden was no longer a consideration. Remaining unremarkable was pointless. If the blood sealer's skeletals reached her, she'd die. That was it. She had to reach a horse soon, then stay ahead of the skeletals for 24 hours until her blood grew stale. Shay dashed through the hallways. Servants began pointing, others screamed. She almost bowled over a southern ambassador in red priest's armor. Shay cursed, bolting around the man. The palace exits would be locked down by now. She knew that. She had studied the security. Getting out would be nearly impossible. Always have a backup, Uncle Juan said. She always did. Shay stopped in the hallway and determined, as she should have earlier, that running for the exits was pointless. She was in a near panic, with the blood sealer on her trail, but she had to think clearly. Backup plan. Hers was a desperate one, but it was all she had. She started running again, skidding around a corner, doubling back the way she had just come. Knights, let me have guessed right about him, she thought. If he's secretly a master charlatan beyond my skill, I am doomed. Oh, unknown god, please. This time, let me be right. Heart racing, fatigue forgotten in the moment, she eventually skidded to a stop in the hallway leading to the Emperor's rooms. There she waited. The guards inspected her, frowning, but held their posts at the end of the hallway as they'd been trained. They called to her. It was hard to keep from moving. The blood sealer was getting closer and closer with his horrible pets.
Why are you here?
A voice said. Shay turned as Gautana stepped into the hallway. He had come for the Emperor first. The others would search for Shay, but Gautana would come for the Emperor to be certain he was safe. Shay stepped up to him, anxious. This, she thought, is probably my worst idea ever for a backup plan. It worked, she said softly.
You tried the stamp,
Gautana said, taking her arm and glancing at the guards, then pulling her aside well out of earshot.
Of all the hasty, insane, foolish.
It worked, Gautana, Shay said.
Why did you come to him? Why not run while you had the chance?
I had to know. I had to. He looked at her, meeting her eyes, seeing through them into her soul as he always did. Knights, but he would have made a wonderful forger.
The blood sealer has your trail, Gautana said. He has summoned those things to catch you.
I know. Gautana hesitated for only a moment, then brought out a wooden box from his voluminous pockets. Shay's heart leaped. He handed it toward her, and she took it with one hand, but he did not let go.
You knew I'd come here, Gautana said. You knew I'd have these, and that I'd give them to you. I've been played for a fool.
Shay said nothing.
How did you do it?
He asked.
I thought I watched you carefully. I was certain I had not been manipulated. And yet I ran here, half knowing I'd find you, knowing you'd need these. I still didn't realize until this very moment that you'd probably planned all of this.
I did manipulate you, Gautana, she admitted. But I had to do it in the most difficult way possible.
Which was?
By being genuine, she replied.
You can't manipulate people by being genuine,
You can't? Shay asked. Is that not how you've made your entire career? Speaking honestly, teaching people what to expect of you, then expecting them to be honest to you in return.
It's not the same thing.
No, she said. It's not. But it was the best I could manage. Everything I've said to you is true, Gautana. The painting I destroyed, the secrets about my life and desires, being genuine. It was the only way to get you on my side.
I'm not on your side.
He paused.
But I don't want you killed either, girl. Particularly not by those things. Take these. Days, take them and go before I change my mind.
Thank you, she whispered, pulling the box to her breast. She fished in her skirt pocket and brought out a small, thick book. Keep this safe, she said. Show it to no one. He took it hesitantly.
What is it?
The truth, she said, then leaned in and kissed him on the cheek. If I escape, I will change my final essence mark, the one I never intend to use. I will add to it, and to my memories, a kindly grandfather who saved my life, a man of wisdom and compassion, whom I respected very much.
Go, fool girl, he said.
He actually had a tear in his eye. If she hadn't been on the very edge of panic, she'd have felt proud of that and ashamed of her pride. That was how she was. Ashravan lives, she said. When you think of me, remember that. It worked. Nights, it worked. She left him, dashing down the corridor. Gautana listened to the girl go, but didn't turn to watch her flee. He stared at that door to the Emperor's chambers. Two confused guards and a passage into... what? The future of the Rose Empire? We will be led by someone not truly alive, Gautana thought. The fruits of our foul labors. He took a deep breath, then walked past the guards and pushed open the doors to go and look upon the thing he had wrought. Just please, let it not be a monster, he thought. Shay strode down the palace hallway, holding the box of seals. She ripped off her buttoned blouse, revealing the tight black cotton shirt she wore underneath, and tucked it into her pocket. She left on her skirt and the leggings beneath. It wasn't so different from the clothing she trained in. Servants scattered around her. They knew, just from her posture, to get out of the way. Suddenly, Shay felt more confident than she had in years. She had her soul back. All of it. She took out one of her essence marks as she walked. She inked it with bold strikes and returned the box of seals to her skirt pocket. Then she slammed the seal against her right bicep and locked it into place, rewriting her history, her memories, her life experience. In that fraction of a moment, she remembered both histories. She remembered 2 years spent locked away planning, creating the essence mark. She remembered a lifetime of being a forger. At the same time, she remembered spending the last 15 years among the Teulu people. They had adopted her and trained her in their martial arts. Two places at once. Two timelines at once. Then the former faded, and she became Shazan, the name the Teulu had given her. Her body became leaner, harder. The body of a warrior. She slipped off her spectacles. Her eyes had been healed long ago, and she didn't need those any longer. Gaining access to the Teulu training had been difficult. They didn't like outsiders. She'd nearly been killed by them a dozen different times during her year training, but she had succeeded. She lost all knowledge of how to create stamps, all sense of scholarly inclination. She was still herself, and she remembered her immediate past, being captured, forced to sit in that cell. She retained knowledge, logically, of what she'd done with the stamp to her arm, and knew that the life she now remembered was fake. But she didn't feel that it was. As that seal burned on her arm, she became the version of herself that would have existed if she'd been adopted by a harsh warrior culture and lived among them for well over a decade. She kicked off her shoes, her hair shortened, a scar stretched from her nose down around her right cheek. She walked like a warrior, prowling instead of striding. She reached the servants' section of the palace just before the stables, the imperial gallery to her left. A door opened in front of her. Zhu, tall and wide-lipped, pushed through. He had a gash on his forehead. Blood seeped through the bandage there, and his clothing had been torn by his fall. He had a tempest in his eyes. He sneered as he saw her.
"You've done it now! The blood sealer led us right to you! I'm gonna enjoy!"
He cut off as Shazan stepped forward in a blur and smacked the heel of her hand against his wrist, breaking it, knocking the sword from his fingers. She snapped her hand upward, chopping him in the throat. Then she curled her fingers into a fist and placed a tight, short, full-knuckled punch into his chest. 6 ribs shattered. Zhu stumbled backward, gasping, eyes wide with absolute shock. His sword clanged to the ground. Shazan stepped past him, pulling his knife from his belt and whipping it up to cut the tie on his cloak. Zhu toppled to the floor, leaving the cloak in her fingers. Shay might have said something to him. Shazan didn't have the patience for witticisms or jibes. A warrior kept moving, like a river. She didn't break stride as she whipped the cloak around and entered the hallway behind Zhu. He gasped for breath. He'd live, but he wouldn't hold a sword again for months. Movement came from the end of the hallway. White-limbed creatures, too thin to be alive. Shazan prepared herself with a wide stance, body turned to the side, facing down the hallway, knees slightly bent. It did not matter how many monstrosities the blood sealer had. It did not matter if she won or lost. The challenge mattered. That was all. There were 5 in the shape of men with swords. They scrambled down the hall, bones clattering, eyeless skulls regarding her without expression beyond that of their ever-grinning pointed teeth. Some bits of the skeletals had been replaced by wooden carvings to fix bones that had broken in battle. Each creature bore a glowing red seal on its forehead. Blood was required to give them life. Even Shazan had never fought monsters like this before. Stabbing them would be useless. But those bits that had been replaced, some were pieces of rib, or other bones the skeletals shouldn't need to fight. So if bones were broken or removed, would the creatures stop working? It seemed her best chance. She did not consider further. Shazan was a creature of instinct. As the things reached her, she whipped Zhu's cloak around and tossed it over the head of the first one. It thrashed, striking at the cloak as she engaged the second creature. She caught its attack on the blade of Zhu's dagger, then stepped up so close she could smell its bones and reached in just below the thing's ribcage. She grabbed the spine and yanked, pulling free a handful of vertebrae, the tip of the sternum cutting her forearm. All the bones of each skeletal seemed to be sharpened. It collapsed, bones clattering. She was right. With the pivotal bones removed, the thing could no longer animate. Shazan tossed the handful of vertebrae aside. That left 4 of them. From what little she knew, skeletals did not tire and were relentless. She had to be quick, or they would overwhelm her. The 3 behind attacked her. Shazan ducked away, getting around the first one as it pulled off the cloak. She grabbed its skull by the eye sockets, earning a deep cut in the arm from its sword as she did so. Her blood sprayed against the wall as she yanked the skull free. The rest of the creature's body dropped to the ground in a heap. "Keep moving. Don't slow," she thought. If she slowed, she died. She spun on the other 3, using the skull to block one sword strike and the dagger to deflect another. She skirted around the 3rd, and it scored her side. She could not feel pain. She trained herself to ignore it in battle. That was good, because that one would have hurt. She smashed the skull into the head of another skeletal, shattering both. It dropped, and Shazan spun between the other two. Their backhand strikes clanged against one another. Shazan's kick sent one of them stumbling back, and she rammed her body against the other, crushing it up against the wall. The bones pushed together, and she got hold of the spine, then yanked free some of the vertebrae. The creature's bones fell with a racket. Shazan wavered as she righted herself. Too much blood lost. She was slowing. When had she dropped the dagger? It must have slipped from her fingers as she slammed the creature against the wall. Focus. One left. It charged her. A sword in each hand. She heaved herself forward, getting inside its reach before it could swing, and grabbed its forearm bones. She couldn't pull them free, not from that angle. She grunted, keeping the swords at bay, barely. She was weakening. It pressed closer. Shazan growled, blood flowing freely from her arm and side. She head-butted the thing. That worked worse in real life than it did in stories. Shazan's vision dimmed, and she slipped to her knees, gasping. The skeletal fell before her, cracked skull rolling free from the force of the blow. Blood dripped down the side of her face. She'd split her forehead, perhaps cracked her own skull. She fell to her side and fought for consciousness. Slowly, the darkness retreated. Shazan found herself amid scattered bones in an otherwise empty hallway of stone. The only color was that of her blood. She had won. Another challenge met. She howled a chant of her adopted family, then retrieved her dagger and cut off pieces of her blouse. She used them to bind her wounds. The blood loss was bad. Even a woman with her training would not be meeting any further challenges today. Not if they required strength. She managed to rise and retrieve Zhu's cloak, still immobilized by pain. He watched her with amazed eyes. She gathered all five skulls of the Blood Sealer's pets and tied them in the cloak. That done, she continued down the hallway, trying to project strength, not the fatigue, dizziness, and pain she actually felt. "He will be here, somewhere," she thought. She yanked open a storage closet at the end of the hall and found the Blood Sealer on the floor inside, eyes glazed by the shock of having his pets destroyed in rapid succession. Shazan grabbed the front of his shirt and hauled him to his feet. The move almost made her pass out again. "Careful," she thought. The Blood Sealer whimpered. "Go back to your swamp," Shazan growled softly. "The one waiting for you doesn't care that you're in the capital, that you're making so much money, that you're doing it all for her. She wants you home. That's why her letters are worded as they are." Shazan said that part for Shay, who would feel guilty if she didn't. The man looked at her, confused.
"How do you..."
He said the last part as Shazan rammed her dagger into his leg. He collapsed as she released his shirt. "That," Shazan said to him softly, leaning down, "is so that I have some of your blood. Do not hunt me. You saw what I did to your pets. I will do worse to you. I'm taking the skulls, so you cannot send them for me again. Go back home." He nodded weakly. She left him in a heap, cowering and holding his bleeding leg. The arrival of the skeletals had driven everyone else away, including guards. Shazan stalked toward the stables, then stopped, thinking of something. It wasn't too far off. "You're nearly dead from these wounds," she told herself. "Don't be a fool." She decided to be a fool anyway. A short time later, Shazan entered the stables and found only a couple of frightened stable hands there. She chose the most distinctive mount in the stables. So it was that, wearing Zhu's cloak and hunkered down on his horse, Shazan was able to gallop out of the palace gates, and not a man or woman tried to stop her.
Was she telling the truth, Gautana?
Ashravan asked, regarding himself in the mirror. Gautana looked up from where he sat.
Was she? He thought to himself. He could never tell with Shay.
Ashravan had insisted upon dressing himself, though he was obviously weak from his long stay in bed. Gautana sat on a stool nearby, trying to sort through a deluge of emotions.
Gautana?
Ashravan asked, turning to him.
I was wounded, as that woman said. You went to a forger to heal me, rather than our trained resealers?
Yes, Your Majesty.
The expressions, Gautana thought. How did she get those right? The way he frowns just before asking a question. The way he cocks his head when not answered immediately. The way he stands, the way he waves his fingers when he's saying something he thinks is particularly important.
A Maypon forger,
the Emperor said, pulling on his golden coat.
I hardly think that was necessary.
Your wounds were beyond the skill of our resealers.
I thought nothing was beyond them.
We did as well.
The Emperor regarded the red seal on his arm. His expression tightened.
This will be a manacle, Gautana.
Await. You will suffer it.
Ashravan turned toward him.
I see that the near death of your liege has not made you any more respectful, old man.
I have been tired lately, Your Majesty.
You're judging me,
Ashravan said, looking back at the mirror.
You always do. Days alight. One day, I will rid myself of you. You realize that, don't you? It's only because of past service that I even consider keeping you around.
It was uncanny. This was Ashravan, a forgery so keen, so perfect, that Gautana would never have guessed the truth if he hadn't already known. He wanted to believe that the Emperor's soul had still been there, in his body, and that the seal had simply uncovered it. That would be a convenient lie to tell himself. Perhaps Gautana would start believing it eventually. Unfortunately, he had seen the Emperor's eyes before, and he knew what Shay had done.
I will go to the other arbiters, Your Majesty,
Gautana said, standing.
They will wish to see you.
Very well. You are dismissed.
Gautana walked toward the door.
Gautana.
He turned.
3 months in bed,
the Emperor said, regarding himself in the mirror.
With no one allowed to see me. The resealers couldn't do anything. They can fix any normal wound. It was something to do with my mind, wasn't it?
He wasn't supposed to figure that out, Gautana thought. She said she wasn't going to write it in to him. But Ashravan had been a clever man. Beneath it all, he had always been clever. Che had restored him, and she couldn't keep him from thinking.
Yes, Your Majesty,
Gautana said. Ashravan grunted.
You are fortunate your gambit worked. You could have ruined my ability to think. You could have sold my soul itself. I'm not sure if I should punish you or reward you for taking that risk.
I assure you, Your Majesty,
Gautana said as he left.
I have given myself both great rewards and great punishments during these last few months.
He left then, letting the Emperor stare at himself in the mirror and consider the implications of what had been done. For better or worse, they had their Emperor back. Or, at least, a copy of him. Epilogue. Day 101.
And so I hope,
Ashravan said to the assembled arbiters of the 80 factions,
that I have laid to rest certain pernicious rumors. Exaggerations of my illness were obviously wishful fancy.
We have yet to discover who sent the assassins, but the murder of the Empress is not something that will go ignored.
He looked over the arbiters.
Nor will it go unanswered.
Frava folded her arms, watching the copy with satisfaction, but also displeasure. What back doors did you put into his mind, little thief? Frava wondered. We will find them. Nien was already inspecting copies of the seals. The forger claimed that he could retroactively decrypt them, though it would take time, perhaps years. Still, Frava would eventually know how to control the Emperor. Destroying the notes had been clever on the girl's part. Had she guessed somehow that Frava wasn't really making copies? Frava shook her head and stepped up beside Gautna, who sat in their box of the Theater of Address. She sat down beside him, speaking very softly.
They are accepting it.
Gautna nodded, his eyes on the fake Emperor.
There isn't even a whisper of suspicion. What we did, it was not only audacious, it would be presumed impossible.
The girl could put a knife to our throats, Frava said. The proof of what we did is burned into the Emperor's own body. We will need to tread carefully in coming years.
Gautna nodded, looking distracted. Days of fire, how Frava wished she could get him removed from his station. He was the only one of the arbiters who ever took a stand against her. Just before his assassination, Ashravan had been ready to do it at her prompting. Those meetings had been private. Shay wouldn't have known of them, so the fake would not either. Frava would have to begin the process again, unless she found a way to control this duplicate Ashravan. Both options frustrated her.
A part of me can't believe that we actually did it, Gautna said softly, as the fake emperor moved on to the next section of his speech, a call for unity.
Frava sniffed.
The plan was sound all along.
Shay escaped.
She will be found.
I doubt it, he said. We were lucky to catch her that once. Fortunately, I do not believe we have much to worry about from her.
She will try to blackmail us, Frava said.
Or she'll try to find a way to control the throne, she thought.
No, Gautna said. No, she is satisfied.
Satisfied with escaping alive?
Satisfied with having placed one of her creations on the throne. Once she dared to try to fool thousands, but now she has a chance to fool millions. An entire empire, exposing what she has done, would ruin the majesty of it in her eyes.
Did the old fool really believe that? His naiveness often presented Frava with opportunities. She'd considered letting him keep his station simply for that reason. The fake emperor continued his speech. Ashravan had liked to hear himself speak. The forger had gotten that right.
He's using the assassination as a means of bolstering our faction, Gautna said. You hear? The implications that we need to unify, pull together, remember our heritage of strength. And the rumors, the ones the Glory faction spread regarding him being killed, by mentioning them, he weakens their faction. They gambled on him not returning, and now that he has, they seem foolish.
True, Frava said. Did you put him up to that?
No, Gautna said. He refused to let me counsel him on his speech. This move, though, it feels like something the old Ashravan would have done. The Ashravan from a decade ago.
The copy isn't perfect, then, Frava said. We'll have to remember that.
Yes,
Gautna said. He held something, a small, thick book that Frava didn't recognize. A rustling came from the back of the box, and a servant of Frava's symbol entered, passing arbiters Steviant and Ushnaka. The youthful messenger came to Frava's side, then leaned down. Frava gave the girl a displeased glance,
What can be so important that you interrupt me here?
I'm sorry, Your Grace, the woman whispered, but you asked me to arrange your palace offices for your afternoon meetings.
Well?
Frava asked. Did you enter the rooms yesterday, my lady?
No. But the business of that rogue blood sealer and the Emperor's demands and...
Frava's frown deepened.
What is it?
Shay turned and looked back at the Imperial seat. The city rolled across a group of 7 large hills. A major faction house topped each of the outer 6, with a palace dominating the central hill. The horse at her side looked little, like the one she'd taken from the palace. It was missing teeth, and walked with its head hanging low, back bowed. Its coat looked as if it hadn't been brushed in ages, and the creature was so underfed, its ribs poked out like the slats on the back of a chair. Shay had spent the previous days lying low, using her beggar essence mark to hide in the Imperial seat's underground. With that disguise in place, and with one on the horse, she had escaped the city with ease. She'd removed her mark once out, however, thinking like the beggar was uncomfortable. Shay loosened the horse's saddle, then reached under it and placed a fingernail against the glowing seal there. She snapped the seal's rim with some effort, breaking the forgery. The horse transformed immediately, back straightening, head rising, sides swelling. It danced uncertainly, head darting back and forth, tugging against the reins. Zhu's warhorse was a fine animal, worth more than a small house in some parts of the empire. Hidden among the supplies on his back was the painting that Shay had stolen, again, from the Arbiter Frava's office. A forgery. Shay had never had cause to steal one of her own works before. It felt amusing. She'd left the large frame cut open, with a single real rune carved in the center on the wall behind. It did not have a very pleasant meaning. She patted the horse on the neck. All things considered, that wasn't a bad haul. A fine horse and a painting that, though fake, was so realistic that even its owner had thought it was the original. He's giving his speech right now, Shay thought. I would like to have heard that. Her gem, her crowning work, wore the mantle of imperial power. That thrilled her, but the thrill had driven her onward. Even making him live again had not been the cause of her frantic work. No, in the end, she had pushed herself so hard because she'd wanted to leave a few specific changes embedded within the soul. Perhaps those months of being genuine to Gautana had changed her. Copy an image over and over on a stack of paper, Shay thought, and eventually the lower sheets will bear the same image, pressed down, deep within. She turned, taking out the essence mark that would transform her into a survivalist and hunter. Frava would anticipate Shay using the roads, so she would instead make her way into the deep center of the nearby Sogdian forest. Those depths would hide her well. In a few months, she would carefully proceed out of the province and continue on to her next task, tracking down the imperial fool who had betrayed her. For now, she wanted to be far away from walls, palaces, and courtly lies. Shay hoisted herself into the horse's saddle and bid farewell to both the imperial seat and the man who now ruled it. Live well, Ashravan, she thought, and make me proud. Late that night, following the Emperor's speech, Gautana sat by the familiar hearth in his personal study, looking at the book that Shay had given him, and marveling. The book was a copy of the Emperor's soul stamp, in detail, with notes. Everything that Shay had done lay bare to him here. Frava would not find an exploit to control the Emperor, because there wasn't one. The Emperor's soul was complete, locked tight, and all his own. That wasn't to say that he was exactly the same as he had been. I took some liberties, as you can see, Shay's notes explained. I wanted to replicate his soul as precisely as possible, That was the task and the challenge. I did so. Then I took the soul a few steps farther, strengthening some memories, weakening others. I embedded deep within Ashravan triggers that will cause him to react in a specific way to the assassination and his recovery. This isn't changing his soul. This isn't making him a different person. It is merely nudging him toward a certain path. Much as a con man on the street will strongly nudge his mark to pick a certain card. It is him. The him that he could have been. Who knows? Perhaps it is the him that would have been. Gautana would never have figured it out on his own, of course. His skill was faint in this area. Even if he'd been a master, he suspected he wouldn't have spotted Shay's work here. She explained in the book that her intention had been to be so subtle, so careful, that no one would be able to decipher her changes. One would have to know the Emperor with extreme depth to even suspect what had happened. With the notes, Gautana could see it. Ashravan's near death would send him into a period of deep introspection. He would seek his journal, reading again and again the accounts of his youthful self. He would see what he had been, and would finally truly seek to recover it. Shay indicated the transformation would be slow. Over a period of years, Ashravan would become the man that he'd once seemed destined to be. Tiny inclinations buried deep within the interactions of his seals would nudge him toward excellence instead of indulgence. He would start thinking of his legacy as opposed to the next feast. He would remember his people, not his dinner appointments. He would finally push the factions for the changes that he and many before him had noticed needed to be made. In short, he would become a fighter. He would take that single but so hard step across the line from dreamer to doer. Gautana could see it in these pages. He found himself weeping, not for the future or for the Emperor. These were the tears of a man who saw before himself a masterpiece. True art was more than beauty. It was more than technique. It was not just imitation. It was boldness. It was contrast. It was subtlety. In this book, Gautana found a rare work to rival that of the greatest painters, sculptors, and poets of any era. It was the greatest work of art he had ever witnessed. Gautana held that book reverently for most of the night. It was the creation of months of fevered, intense, artistic transcendence, forced by external pressure, but released like a breath, held until the brink of collapse. Raw, yet polished. Reckless, but calculated. Awesome, yet unseen. So it had to remain. If anyone discovered what Shay had done, the Emperor would fall. Indeed, the very Empire might shake. No one could know that Ashravan's decision to finally become a great leader had been set in motion by words etched into his soul by a blasphemer. As morning broke, Gautana slowly, excruciatingly, stood up beside his hearth. He clutched the book, that matchless work of art, and held it out. Then he dropped it into the flames.
The End. This has been a sci-fi audio production of The Emperor's Soul by Brandon Sanderson, narrated by Angela Lin. If you've enjoyed this book and this performance, Sci-Fi Audio recommends The Dragon's Path, Book 1 of The Dagger and the Coin by Daniel Abraham, narrated by Pete Bradbury. Marcus's hero days are behind him. He knows too well that even the smallest war still means somebody's death. When his men are impressed into a doomed army, staying out of a battle he wants no part of requires some unorthodox steps. Cithrin is an orphan, ward of a banking house. Her job is to smuggle a nation's wealth across a war zone, hiding the gold from both sides. She knows the secret life of commerce like a second language, but the strategies of trade will not defend her from swords. Gedder, sole scion of a noble house, has more interest in philosophy than in swordplay. A poor excuse for a soldier, he is a pawn in these games. No one can predict what he will become. When a spat between the Free Cities and the Severed Throne spirals out of control, a new player arises from the depths of history, fanning the flames that will sweep the entire region onto the Dragon's Path, the path to war. Recorded Books offers a wide selection of bestsellers, mysteries, classics, histories, and more. So visit us at recordedbooks.com to learn about our latest releases and special offers. And thank you for being a Recorded Books reader.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.